GBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Federal Reserve wrapping up its last meeting of the year, expected to lower interest rates by a quarter point this afternoon. Could automakers Nissan and Honda be getting ready to merge? They say they're in talks about collaboration in some way. Here's ABC's Rebecca Jarvis.
Both automakers have been struggling in recent years, and they've seen weak sales, and the partnership could strengthen. But there are no specifics yet on what this is going to mean for jobs. Keep in mind, though, even though these are Japanese automakers, they do have plants here in the U.S. Nissan has factories in Tennessee and Mississippi, and one of the largest for Nissan is in Ohio.
The suspect in the killing of healthcare CEO Brian Thompson in New York 2 weeks ago now facing an 11-count indictment that includes charges of first-degree murder and terrorism. It's crunch time if you're hoping to get a package out by Christmas. If you are shipping through first-class postage with the post office, today is the deadline if you want it to arrive by Christmas. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Madison police say they've moved on to the investigation phase into Monday's school shooting. Savannah Tomei Olson continues to cover the story for us.
In a press conference, they also offered a big correction, saying it was a second grade teacher who called 911, not a second grade student. Police Chief Sean Barnes.
Yesterday, after looking at the computer-aided dispatch system, it seems as if a call came from a second grader. It actually read, the call came from a second grade teacher. That was a mistake. That's my responsibility, and I apologize, and I clarify that today.
Meanwhile, rumors are running rampant on social media, and the big question is why? That's what authorities are working on right now.
Identifying a motive is our top priority, but at this time, it appears that the motive was a combination of factors. Again, we cannot share that information at this time because we do not want to jeopardize the investigation and those who are currently cooperating with us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
A Madison nonprofit is raising money to support the Christian school at the center of Monday's tragic shooting. The United Way of Dane County is spearheading the fundraiser for the Abundant Life Christian School community. It launched Tuesday morning. The CEO of the Dane County United Way says it's our responsibility as a community to help Madison recover, and every dollar counts. The school's principal says they're overwhelmed by the support and that they'll create a transparent process to distribute the money once they figure out where it will be most helpful. 100% of the money raised will go to the school. We have a link to the fundraiser at civicmedia.us. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
The Bucks beat the Thunder. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Oklahoma City Thunder are in first place in the Western Conference, the youngest team in the league. But last night, the Bucks shut them down, 97-81, to win the NBA Cup Championship in Las Vegas. Doc Rivers asked during the trophy presentation, when did he know that they had a chance to win the Cup?
I think we knew this. You know, we struggled coming out of the gates. No one here doubted what we can be and who we can be. And we just hung in there. We stuck together. And this is the byproduct of a team sticking together. But we still have work to do.
College football, add Will Pauling, the Badgers' leading receiver, to the list of players leaving Wisconsin and entering the transfer portal. In Green Bay, Matt LaFleur says one of his most improved players this season is wide receiver Christian Watson.
In every phase of the game, he's been A+. Guy is extremely intelligent. We can move him around. He rarely will have a mental error, and he's doing a good job of winning his one-on-one opportunities.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have some snow on the way. Tomorrow into tomorrow night, we could end up with 3 to 5, maybe even 6 inches of accumulation by the time it all winds down late Thursday night. Today, though, partly cloudy, 30. Tonight, clouds will increase down to 12. Snow tomorrow with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 30.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart,
heart, and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live. Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we'll get some holiday magic with Gizmo and former UW Green Bay basketball coach Todd Kowalczyk.
Plus, our friend Pat Tracy gives us a final list of holiday events happening in Oshkosh. Join us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text. That number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up for you on the show today. Our colleague here at Civic Media, Jimmy Cuska, is going to join us after the 10:30 news. Jimmy had a thread on Blue Sky yesterday that I thought was just so impactful, especially after the shooting at the Abundant Life School in Madison this week. And Jimmy has two small children, and they had to have a hard discussion. Yes. And that's what he shared in this thread yesterday on Blue Sky. And I thought it was really important, and it's an important discussion for us to have. So Jimmy is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news. Of course, it is Wednesday, so Dr. Laura Hanks will be here with public service announcements at 11:33, and we will wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it's the Let's Just Keep It Between Us edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says, at civicmedia.us. And don't forget, three more days for the statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest. Next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, we'll have a keyword for you. You want to text the keyword in via the Civic Media app. So if you don't have the app yet, download the app. It's free. Mm-hmm. It's got great features on it. You can listen to any station all across the state. Check out all the different shows via the Civic Media app. But next hour, you want to text that keyword via the Civic Media app, and then you're in the running for either $100 cash, maybe an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And whether or not you win anything, everyone who enters will be qualified for one of 8 grand prizes, from espresso machines to robot vacuums to a snowblower.
Which you're going to be needing this week, maybe?
Yeah, it looks like it. Brittany Merlot will join us tomorrow to talk snow. But make sure you're listening next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, for that keyword. Some of our previous winners include Jessica in Cudahy. She was listening on WAUK. And then, I love this so much, and we've talked about this before.
Yeah.
One of the things I love about doing this show is just learning, and you've said the same thing, all the things that we learn about our state.
Yeah.
And did you know that there's a Butternut, Wisconsin?
A Butternut, Wisconsin?
Butternut, Wisconsin. I love that there's a Butternut, Wisconsin. Lisa from Butternut was also one of our hourly winners. She listens to the stream out of Park Falls on WCQM.
I have to hold on 1 second here. Just get a
Butternut, Wisconsin. It's near Park Falls, Ashland County.
The thing I need to know is population 367.
Isn't that cute?
My God.
And I think there's like a Butternut Lake Lodge.
Yep.
We need a road trip.
Oh, welcome to the village of Butternut.
We need to go see Lisa from Butternut.
Homes of contest winners, Lisa.
Absolutely. So be like Jessica in Cudahy or Lisa from Butternut, and make sure you play our statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest that is coming your way next hour. Wanted to start off, though, with a little update on Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson.
I hate when we call him that.
But he is.
I know.
He is the senior senator. Lawrence Andrea in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel headline reads, Ron Johnson poised to scrutinize federal agencies work closely with Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, God.
Ron Johnson will be in the Senate majority in the next Congress, and he is poised to lead the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee's permanent subcommittee on investigations. They could save money if they would just shorten some of the names of some of these committees. Yes, he's going to lead the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee's permanent subcommittee on investigations. Ron Johnson telling the Journal Sentinel he will turn the committee's attention inward to federal agencies as he follows the lead of Trump's new cabinet picks, some of whom are keen on changing the makeup of the government. Rojo says he also wants to work very closely with Robert Kennedy Jr. in exploring issues like the efficacy of vaccines.
Oh, God.
Something both men have repeatedly cast doubt upon, despite guidance from health professionals. I will do my role, he says, complimentary to what they're going to be trying to do to root out corruption in those agencies themselves. The agencies in the first Trump administration undermined and sabotaged him. I expect they're going to try to do the same thing.
If by undermine and sabotage you mean they did their jobs, sure, okay, fine.
And stopping him from his worst own impulses?
Yeah, because if he had his way, we'd all be blasting light and bleach into our systems.
Well, didn't Ron say that we should just gargle?
Yes, he did.
We could just gargle with mouthwash, well, which would fight off COVID.
Being a representative and a vigilant defender of the vaccine injured,
yes,
is the whole reason why he ran for a third term, something he said he wasn't going to do.
That's right. I forgot about that.
That's
his big focus.
The vaccine injured,
well,
folks.
The other thing that I find really interesting is, so he's looking, you know, at rooting out corruption in these agencies. If you look at some of the incoming cabinet members, almost every single one of them has a major conflict of interest with the agency they will be running.
First of all, most of them aren't qualified to run the agencies.
Well, there's that.
There's a huge conflict.
That would be, in some administrations, that might be considered a problem.
Yeah.
Not this time around.
Nah.
I mean, the guy he wants to head NASA is a buddy of Elon's. Elon himself has hundreds of millions of dollars worth of government contracts.
Yeah.
But we don't have to worry about him giving himself any sweet deals.
Well, he's just trying to influence now reporting on crash tests. And
He's also trying
to put the screws on Rivian, which is his main competitor as far as the electric car scene is concerned, too. Yeah, Elon, what a free speech warrior, American to the end. This is so bad.
Johnson says he will focus his attention, including probing to what extent government agencies captured by the businesses they're supposed to be regulating, to what extent does that corrupt the process? If you're looking for corruption in federal agencies, I think you're going to find a lot in this next administration. You should be, Ron, very, very busy.
Yeah, you're going to find a lot. Also, a lot of industries run these governmental. They have lobbying firms. They write legislation.
He takes money from these lobbyists.
Yeah, this is hokum. This is dumb.
There's a number of things we need to mop up, says Ron Johnson. There's a lot of corruption through these agencies, so it's going to be kind of a target-rich environment. Johnson said Trump needs very strong fighters to lead his administration. His complementary role will be to help extract information to reveal to the public the corruption that exists in there and the corruption that needs to be fixed and rooted out. Again, he wants to work very closely with Robert Kennedy Jr.
Oh, God. No.
Robert Kennedy Jr., of course, has said for decades that there are no safe vaccines.
Which is incorrect.
And he's now, of course, he's trying to backtrack from that and said, I never said that. Yeah, you did. It's on video. We've watched it. Kennedy is already talking about pulling the polio vaccine.
Yes. Yeah, that's one where it.
And as we were putting the show plan together, then I found this. Again, Ron Johnson ran for a third term so he could help the vaccine injured. Quote reads from science.org, infamous paper that popularized unproven COVID-19 treatment finally retracted. Study on hydroxychloroquine, remember that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Gets pulled on ethical and scientific grounds. This was published yesterday. A 2020 paper that sparked widespread enthusiasm for hydroxychloroquine as a COVID-19 treatment was retracted after years of campaigns by scientists who said the research contained major scientific flaws and may have breached ethical regulations. One of the things that the scientists had problem with was the sample size. Guess how many patients they studied with this hydroxychloroquine, which is an anti-malarial drug.
2,100.
36.
3,600. That's a lot of people.
No. 36.
36?
36 patients.
Like what, the age I turned last week?
Mm-hmm. 36. Wow. The paper was submitted March 16th of 2020, published 4 days later. March 24th, a scientific integrity consultant, who knew that was a thing, said that 6 patients who were treated with hydroxychloroquine had been dropped from the study, 1 died, and 3 were moved to intensive care. So that took them out of the study and actually skewed the results in favor of hydroxychloroquine. You would be hard-pressed to make this up.
Well, the problem is this has been retracted, debunked, all the things. Science once again wins. Science wins. But this doesn't matter because we still have people who cite that debunked paper from a decade ago about autism and vaccines.
Oh, I know.
And if you say, well, it were 36 people, all this information saying that it's not true. Well, that's what they want you to believe.
Right.
That's what they want you. That's why RFK Jr. is going to get in there. He's going to make America healthy again. He's going to pull those vaccinations, and we're going to be a better country until people start dying from polio again.
855-752-4842 if you would like to join this conversation talking about Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson's plans as we enter a second Trump administration. We will continue this discussion. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Gerrymandering, the manipulation of voting district boundaries to engineer an election outcome which benefits a particular party, had a significant impact on control of the new Congress. A new report by the Brennan Center for Justice found over 4 of 5 congressional districts were won by a margin of over 10%, including 90% of the GOP House majority. Within that number, 132 GOP winners were in districts with winning margins of 25% or more, and 112 by a Democrat. In comparison, only 37 districts nationwide were decided by 5% or less, and only 19 districts were competitive enough to flip. The Brennan Center points to North Carolina as a state which, after a more liberal Supreme Court was flipped conservative in 2022, replaced the previous court's 7-7 competitive maps with the legislature's gerrymandered version, resulting in a 10-4 GOP congressional seat advantage. The most effective solution to gerrymandering at the moment is citizen-led independent redistricting, which has been successful in producing fairer and more competitive maps in California, Michigan, Utah, and a handful of other states. Brennan found that independent commissions, citizen-led or otherwise, drew only 82 congressional districts this cycle, but those districts were three times more competitive. We have the Brennan Center's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ho ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho ho ho!
From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next week, a week from today, is Christmas Day.
And my Christmas shopping's almost done.
Good
I got
for you.
Three things left to get.
Good for you. I'm almost done too.
Yeah.
But we are switching it up a little bit across Civic Media for Christmas Day.
It's my show on Wednesday?
It's not your show Wednesday.
Oh.
No, we're gonna kick into Christmas.
How are we doing that, Jane?
From 6 p.m. on Christmas Eve all throughout Christmas Day.
Okay.
All of our Civic Media stations, including the news talk stations like us on WAUK, are going to be playing your favorite Christmas classics.
Okay.
And then Pete Schwab is going to do a special 4 to 6 p.m. nightlight.
I love that.
On Christmas Eve.
I love that.
To kind of set you up. And then we're going to go full blown into Christmas tunes for all of Christmas Eve and all of Christmas Day. We'll still have news updates and weather updates and things like that. But don't be surprised if you tune in next week at this time and you're hearing Holly Jolly Christmas.
Just make the generally like logical conclusion that if you're hearing Christmas music on Christmas Day, we're playing Christmas music on Christmas Day. But also, you are not going to hear us on Thursday and Friday of next week either.
That's right. Greg and I taking a couple of days off. Dan Schaefer will be here on the 26th.
Correct.
And then Matt Rothschild.
Correct.
We'll be here on Friday the 27th.
Yes.
So again, full blown Christmas music. Next Wednesday, starting Christmas Eve at 6 p.m., all across the Civic Media Radio Network. I hope you enjoy it. Before we went to the break, we were talking about Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson, talking about how much he's looking forward to working with Robert Kennedy Jr. in the next administration. He says he is going to be probing instances of people injured by COVID vaccines and taking a look at what we put in our food, which is good. We should look at what we put in our food. But Ron sent a letter to the leaders of HHS, the CDC, and the FDA, calling transparency there appalling and accusing them of hiding relevant information from Congress regarding the development and safety of the COVID-19 vaccines. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Wait, the HHS?
Yeah. The first COVID vaccine was developed under the Trump administration, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
That's what I thought.
Yep. Yeah.
CDC has noted severe reactions to the COVID vaccines are rare, and health officials pushing back on the data that Ron Johnson often uses to talk about reported vaccine injuries. It's going to be interesting. We can counter this by something else I found in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee County health officials holding mobile flu COVID vaccine clinics this month. Good. So if you have not gotten vaccinated yet, they're going to help make it easier for you because our vaccination numbers are not good.
No, they're not.
Wisconsin Department of Health Services indicates 28% of us in Wisconsin have gotten flu shots. 28%, 14% have gotten their updated COVID vaccines. So they're going to do this mobile clinic and vaccine event held around the state. We're going to include this in the show notes,
mm-hmm.
which you can always find at civicmedia.us. Click on shows, go to Matt Nair on air, and that will have all of the past episodes. We have up to 100 old episodes there that you can go back and listen. And Greg includes the links in our show notes so you can check this out. But they vary from the McGovern Senior Center. And one of the concerns is people who are lower income and elderly, if they can't, not having the ability to get somewhere to get vaccinated. So that's one of the reasons why they're doing this. It starts today at the McGovern Senior Center at 45th and Custer. There will be one tomorrow at the Clinton Rose Senior Center. There's one on next Friday at the West Milwaukee Comprehensive Treatment Center. And they are absolutely free. No out-of-pocket cost if you have an activated insurance card. Uninsured people can be redirected to the City of Milwaukee Health Department walk-in clinics. Get vaccinated, folks.
Get vaccinated. There's no reason not to. There really isn't. I used to not get the flu vaccine.
I didn't either for a long time.
And granted, no one's saying that the flu vaccination is creating autism or the vaccine injured. But I just now, as my mom and my mother-in-law get older, and just as I get older too, it just makes sense. You go and get the jab. Two jabs, you're done.
And in 2 days, you're usually fine.
Yeah, your arm's going to hurt a little bit, but that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
It's the price you pay to live in the country.
My husband is going for his second shingles series today. Yeah.
But no, thank you.
But that's something, you don't want shingles either.
Oh.
So anyway, we will include that link in our show notes. If you or someone you know would still like to get vaccinated, do that.
Yeah.
They're going to try and make it as easy for you as possible. We have news coming up next. When we return, our colleague here at Civic Media, Jimmy Cuska, will join us. He had a great piece on Blue Sky yesterday about talking to young children about what happened in Madison this week. So we're going to kick that around with Jimmy Cuska. After the news, stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. Winnebago County Sheriff's officials confirmed the man found in a submerged vehicle in the icy waters of Little Lake Butamore Monday in Menasha was 63-year-old Carl Stattmiller of Appleton. Stattmiller was last seen December 11th and was reported as a missing person. There was no evidence of trauma, and his death is still being investigated. In his last few weeks in office, President Joe Biden is issuing pardons and clemencies even to people here in Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Eight people from Wisconsin, including drug offenders and financial criminals, have received clemency from President Joe Biden. The White House is justifying the action impacting 1,500 convicts nationwide by noting that many people were serving longer sentences than they would face under current laws.
This year, Wisconsin residents will see the largest increase in K-12 property taxes since 2009. As school districts across the state struggle to keep up with their funding needs, they've turned to their communities with operational referendums. Nearly two-thirds of all districts in the state have passed a referendum over the last few years. And this year, residents will pay around $327 million more because of it. The K-12 property taxes increased by 5.7% this year after jumping 5.4% last year. However, in Green Bay, even with a new referendum, the school property taxes will go down. If you have an aviation enthusiast on your holiday gift-giving list, the Experimental Aircraft Association has you covered. Tickets are now on sale for the 72nd EAA fly-in set for July 21st through the 27th. Camping credentials, parking passes, aviator club tickets, and flights are also available. Adult non-member prices are $150 for the week. Visit EAA.org for more information. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for a new show to binge, here's one of Pete's picks. I highly recommend The Day of the Jackal on Peacock. I just finished the series, and it didn't disappoint. The show stars Eddie Redmayne as the Jackal and Lashana Lynch as a detective chasing him across Europe. The show does not conform to stereotypical norms when it comes to likability for its characters, which is refreshing. Both lead characters are interesting, and the first season ends unapologetically and a bit shockingly. The table is set perfectly for season two. Highly recommend. Even though Wicked is still in theaters and will continue raking in the big bucks through the holidays, there is already buzz about Wicked 2 and its title. The sequel has been named Wicked for Good. The title was revealed by Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande, who spilled the beans on their social media platforms. The film has already been shot, but Wicked fans will have to pace themselves. It doesn't open in theaters until next November. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and breezy, with temperatures slowly sliding from the mid-20s to the teens tonight. With snow arriving early tomorrow morning, it could be heavy at times, and visibility will be reduced and roads will be slippery, as snow accumulations look to be anywhere from 4 to 8 inches. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 30.
In the market for a home loan? It's time to meet Kristen Ambos, the top 1% of loan originators in the U.S. and the number one female loan officer in Wisconsin for 2 years running. With over 20 years experience, Kristen and Point Mortgage Corporation are here to serve all of your lending needs, from conventional to FHA, USDA, and VA loans. Plus, with their rate match guarantee, if they can't beat your pre-approved rate, they'll pay you $500. Call Kristen Ambos today at 920-606-1156 and let her and Point Mortgage make your homeownership dreams come true.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media host James Maloff and the punk band Radio for Pets, who are going to invade the studio and blow the roof off the joint. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Cal B coming to you live From our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, you can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on a live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Of course, still very much in the news. The shooting earlier this week at the school in Madison, Abundant Life Christian School. Two people were killed, including the shooter. Three people were killed, including the shooter. Mm-hmm. At least two other students, I believe, are still hospitalized in critical condition. And I was on Blue Sky yesterday and saw this thread from our colleague, Jimmy Cuska, who is our sports director here at Civic Media, that just really hit me hard. And I wanted to have him on so we can talk about this and about how you talk to your kids when something like this happens. So, Jimmy, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm happy to be on the show, although under different circumstances, it might have been a more pleasant subject, yeah. But grateful for the opportunity to talk a little bit about it.
Well, now you have young children. You have young kids.
Yeah, my oldest is 8 and my youngest is 6, so elementary school age kids.
And can you take us through the thread? You're going to post it on Civic Media a little bit later on today because it's turned out to be quite a lengthy piece, which is wonderful. But tell us about your thread on Blue Sky yesterday and what prompted all of this.
So I think it's no secret if you're watching on social media, you can see I work from home because I cover all of our stations in Civic Media for sports. So there's not really a central location for that. So I get to have the opportunity to work from home most days. And in part of my duties, I get to do newscasts for our lacrosse station, WLCX. And, in the mornings when my kids are getting ready, I'm usually recording some newscasts. I'm putting together things. I don't really think a lot of it because, I start at like 6 in the morning, 6:30, and drop off isn't until, around 7:30. So
sure.
I'm recording things, not really thinking that my kids might just be hanging out waiting for dad to be done talking to come say hi to me in the morning. It's a routine. It's pretty normal. And, for me, I don't necessarily filter what I put in a newscast because it's for public consumption,
right?
Whatever, it's not things that kids normally pay attention to, but obviously yesterday morning the big story is the school shooting that happened at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, and every newscast led with it. So I did 4 variations of the same story, not really realizing that outside of my office door my kids are waiting for me to be done talking so they can come and say hi to me after they wake up. We get in the car, getting ready to head to school, and it's only a few blocks, drive from my house to school. And as I'm, getting them buckled in, getting myself buckled in, just very quietly from the back seat, I hear the question, "Dad, what is a school shooting?" And I'll be honest, I froze for a minute. I stumbled. I said, "Where did you hear that? Why do you know why are you asking that?" And then I realized it hit me. It's like, oh, well, my newscast this morning, all 4 of them led with what happened in Madison.
So they heard it.
That's how they heard it. And it may be bad on me for exposing them, I guess, to something like that. Not, again, thinking in the context of, recording news from home that this is something that would come up. But, hearing the question and hearing how quiet he was in asking it, I knew he already knew what the answer was. Because my 8-year-old, and all parents will say this about their kids, my 8-year-old's pretty smart, probably smarter than me at this point. He can do math and I can't. So we pulled off, block from home. Just he asked a question and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to take him to school right away. We're going to talk about it. Spent a couple of minutes just explaining what it was. I was very matter of fact explaining what it was, saying that, it's something that unfortunately happens more and more where we live in America. And it's something that's happened, twice in the last 7 months in South Central Wisconsin, and we're in Southwestern Wisconsin. So, giving them that chance, they didn't seem too distraught over the answer. They didn't seem too upset about it. I did make sure to tell them they can talk to a counselor, a teacher, an adult, or go to the office and have them call me and I'll come down to the school if they're feeling anxious, nervous, scared, whatever it is, whatever they're feeling. I'm happy to come down and, talk to them about it. And from that, I learned that my kids didn't know that they could go to the office and call me. So now I'm just waiting for them to ask me, to bring them a lunch or something. But, it wasn't a conversation I was expecting to have at this age, obviously. Young kids typically don't, you know, ask that question, right? That's not something you expect from an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. But it, on the other hand, and, you know, as a parent, it was an opportunity to, you know, not only talk about something difficult, but give myself a chance to listen and hear what, you know, how does this affect them, right? So I let them ask questions, some that I just can't answer. I can't predict what the next one will be. I can't predict that it'll never happen where we live. You know, that's the saying, right? With school shootings, they can happen anywhere. And that's what makes it terrifying. And I said, if I didn't feel like you were safe going to school, I wouldn't be dropping you off here. You know, in my district, I'm on the school board. I'm a coach. I'm a volunteer. I'm in their classrooms, helping with spelling words. They're probably more helping me with spelling words, to be honest, but I'm there to hold the flashcards and be there. So I'm in the schools. You know, people see me, and I'm not an expert on any of this, right? I'm not an expert on school security or what the best thing is. And if I was, you know, I'd probably be a highly paid consultant instead of a guy who talks sports on civic media, right? But I've spent time learning as much as I can about it, knowing that a lot of schools go to referendum and putting right in their referendum line that the money that they're looking for updates to the school, of the 139 fall referendum, 40 of them included the word security in the referendum language. So a good portion of what's being asked for by schools is money to help update, you know, infrastructure, pay for security technology. A lot of these buildings have to be retrofitted because they're decades, in our district's case, 127 years old, one of our buildings. So you have to retrofit these buildings for security, right? Because you want to have a safe space for kids to come to. And it's a very limited approach to it. But, this is really all I can do as a parent and as a community member, volunteer, board member. Board members don't have a whole lot of power in these things. I'm just one guy on a board. And this is really all I can do to help, you know, learn more and provide some measure of, you know, you're going to a space where I feel that you're safe being in. And that's in lieu of having any incoming federal or state, laws or legislation being made. Everything's gridlocked. So locally, as school districts, your hands are kind of tied. You got to do with what you got. And that's why we see a lot of referendums. As I said, 40 of 139 mentioned the word security. You know, it's up to the schools to figure it out. And, you know, with very limited resources, that's what districts are being asked to do.
If you're just joining us, Jimmy Cuska is our guest. He is our colleague and civic media sports director, and he's got a great thread in on Blue Sky that you put up yesterday, and he will have a longer article that will go up on civic media a little bit later on today. But he has two young children, 8 and 6, and the question happened yesterday, what's a school shooting? And Jimmy, from everything that I've seen from child psychologists and everything like that, I would say that you did the right thing, because they all say, the experts say, that you should let your child lead the discussion. And that's kind of what you did.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I did it because going to school on Tuesday after this happens on Monday, I'm thinking to myself on the way, it's why I stopped the car. I'm like, well, they're either going to hear about it from me, or they're going to hear about it from kids on the playground
or at
recess. Or maybe they bring it up as a staff or as a teacher. I don't think our school did that. I think they just addressed it with staff. They didn't address it with students. But I thought that if they were going to learn about it or talk about it, it should be in a safe spot. My kids seem to trust me. My kids really enjoy me as a dad when mom's not around, because we do what we like to call breaking rules, which usually involves ice cream for dinner. So that's me as a parent. It's just what I do, man. I know nobody has this parenting thing figured out, but ice cream for dinner always seems like a winner. So, you know, that's good on me. But
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I assume then that the school that your kids go to does not have active shooter drills, or do they?
We did have a lockdown drill this year in our district. An active shooter drill is not something with the kids. It's something that was discussed. They haven't had one since before COVID. So it's been a while since the district had one, but, you know, the active shooter drills themselves, when you have students involved, can be traumatizing. And that was a big concern, that if you, you know, pretend that you have this situation, right, that there's somebody in the school that's trying to do harm to you, that can be traumatizing in itself. So the lockdown drill was more about making sure doors were locked, making sure that kids were in the right spot in their rooms. And then they actually held a staff one in the before students arrived this fall. That was actually that active drill without students in the building so that staff could train on what their protocols were, found some weak points, and they actually addressed two of the big ones by, believe it or not, you know, finding a way to lock two very outdated doors on the CTE wing and also adding a digital verification process to be a visitor in the school. So now when you go in, you have to have a photo ID that gets scanned and it prints a badge for you. So schools are finding ways to try to make things safer, more secure. I know, and just speaking from my experience in our referendum, building two completely new entrances to the school that buzz you into an area. You can only go to the office from there. And then from the office, you can be released into the school if you're allowed. Also, I got to learn a lot, and this is kind of heartbreaking in itself. I got to learn about the different grades of bulletproof or bullet-resistant glass, as well as film that you can put on windows and doors to make them shatter-resistant or shatterproof. And these are not things I ever anticipated learning about as a school board member.
Seriously.
But a lot of time was dedicated to this. This part of it actually really, because we built the new elementary wing as part of the referendum, and we had a meeting discussing the windows that go into the wing, because natural light is very important in education, you know, because it, you know, having the fluorescence draining you out of the day, it gives me headaches.
Sure.
I can imagine being a kid in a school all day with that. But talking about the windows and making sure in the design, because we have two law enforcement members on our board, that they can only open from the inside and that there are specific designs you need in case of something like this happening. And then again, going through the different grades of making them shatter resistant or shatterproof, but still making them able to be broken from the inside so that you can get out if you have to. And that, again, is not something you expect as a parent or board member, a discussion you have to have in the process of designing learning spaces for children.
I don't know, Jimmy. You just said a few minutes ago you're not an expert. It seems like between being a parent in this situation and being a school board member, you're learning a lot and passing a lot of information along. I don't even know. I mean, I don't have children, and I don't know what it's like to have this conversation. We were talking about before the show, how do you even address it? What do you say? And I feel like, yeah, what you did was the perfect thing. You were honest with them. And now you know this information as far as what will be done with the schools. But you're like, we could make better playgrounds instead. But we have to do this now. We have to do this. It's not even a matter of it's preventative, but it's almost like, it has to happen or else you will be there would be problems.
Well, when we're talking about allocation of resources, yeah. We've got X number of dollars and where is it going to, like you said, at this point in America, this is where the money is going to have to go.
Yeah.
We're going to continue our conversation with Jimmy Cuska. If you have any questions or comments, 855-752-4842. Jimmy, I want to talk when we come back a little bit about running for school board, being on the school board, what being on the board entails, and why you think that's so important. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Sweet, but now it's sour. Oh, that's a rhapsody of ours, and we'll all sing alleluia till we break. Well, we walked along the edge of where the ocean meets your breath. We said, love, don't give us chances that we can't take. It was sweet, but now it's sour. Break.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention. Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Gerrymandering, the manipulation of voting district boundaries to engineer an election outcome which benefits a particular party, had a significant impact on control of the new Congress. A new report by the Brennan Center for Justice found over 4 of 5 congressional districts were won by a margin of over 10%, including 90% of the GOP House majority. Within that number, 132 GOP winners were in districts with winning margins of 25% or more, and 112 by a Democrat. In comparison, only 37 districts nationwide were decided by 5% or less, and only 19 districts were competitive enough to flip. The Brennan Center points to North Carolina as a state which, after a more liberal Supreme Court was flipped conservative in 2022, replaced the previous court's 7-7 competitive maps with the legislature's gerrymandered version, resulting in a 10-4 GOP congressional seat advantage. The most effective solution to gerrymandering at the moment is citizen-led independent redistricting, which has been successful in producing fairer and more competitive maps in California, Michigan, Utah, and a handful of other states. Brennan found that independent commissions, citizen-led or otherwise, drew only 82 congressional districts this cycle, but those districts were 3 times more competitive. We have the Brennan Center's report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. You can call. You can text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, after the 11 o'clock news, we will continue our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. We will give you the keyword around 11:07 or so. You want to text that in using the Civic Media app, and you've got the chance at some great prizes. So make sure you download the app if you don't have it yet. Go to your app store, download it. It is absolutely free. Just look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. We're joined by our colleague and Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, and he's going to be publishing a piece a little bit later on today after the shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison. 3 people are dead, a teacher and a student. The shooter also dead, and several, at least 2, I believe, are still hospitalized in critical condition. Not only is Jimmy a sports director here, but he's a school board member, parent of 2 small children who had questions after they heard you recording in your home studio, but when you were putting the news reports together for Civic Media. So I just think it's really important discussion to have, Jimmy, and your involvement too within the school gives you a lot of insight I think a lot of people don't have.
And you know, for me, it was a matter of when I got on the board because no one else ran for it, and as I registered as a write-in, got a dozen votes, and here I am. But it gave me an opportunity to be a little more hands-on with education in my community. It's a new community to me. I've only lived here a few years, and really allowed me to deep dive into things I was already interested in education. I've been a volunteer for a lot of youth organizations. Big Brothers Big Sisters was a big part of my 30s, early 30s, I should say. I'm in the later 30s now. but I've also been a coach, a volunteer in my school. It's all part of, I guess, things that I'm very interested in. It's something that's very motivating to me because, my public school teachers and coaches helped me through a childhood where, I was homeless at times, So you know, I have placed a lot of value on the work teachers and educators, coaches, any of those people do, youth mentoring. But to the point, you know, I've had to educate myself on this because my kids are, you know, in the school, and I don't feel comfortable making any kind of decision if I don't know as much as I can about it, like reasonably know as much as I can. I think in another life, I'd be a researcher of some kind. That's kind of a passion of mine. I love researching and diving into academic articles and newspaper archives. I'm a nerd, but that's stuff I love. And learning about this part of it, as tough as it is, you know, it's for the benefit of kids, right? And there's nothing to be more important than that. So I'm not an expert, but I have gone out of my way to try to learn as much as I can about it so I can make somewhat informed decisions, even if I'm not, you know, somebody with a history in law enforcement, for example, or securing buildings or architecture, any of that kind of stuff. I've learned as much as I can to make somewhat informed and educated decision on it. And I think that's helped me advocate more for the things even here locally when, you know, again, the resources are pretty limited when, you know, when you talk about, say, redoing an entrance to a building that's 80 years old to make it more secure, you know, that costs a lot of money. Yes, I mean, just to replace a set of doors is, you know, borderline six figures. You know, it's really expensive. And that's money that could be going for, you know, curriculum. It could be going for another support staff. It could be going for teachers. It
a
could
counselor.
Be
going
for yeah.
Something. Yep. Yes. It, you yep. know, youth mental health is a big part of the article that I'm putting up on Civic Media about how limited that is just to find routine care in rural Wisconsin. Took me almost a year for my son. So it is really difficult to find youth mental health services in the state. I am very fortunate that my district as a school psychologist. That is a pretty rare thing to have these days in small schools.
Well, and I guess that's one of my frustrations is in the aftermath of something like this, it's always, well, you know, it's not about the guns. It's about mental health. And we need to, you know, more mental health and more services. But then when it comes time to pay for it, nobody wants to shell out for it.
And that's really the thing, right? School funding is very limited in Wisconsin. It's been tied to the number of people in schools. And for 70% of rural schools in Wisconsin, enrollment has been declining in the past few years. In my district, and in just the high school, the enrollment has dropped from 231 to 185 in just 4 years.
Wow.
So geez. It is, and that every student counts for part of the formula you get to get aid from the state. State aid is over 2/3 of our school budget. So, you know, the district I live in is a lot like many others in Wisconsin, small, rural, you know, public, and having to really rely on local taxpayers now to support it through referendum, with both an operational and a facilities referendum passed in the last 7 years in this district. And it's like many schools in the state, that's the only recourse you have to help afford things like security updates. As I mentioned, 40 of 139 referendums in the fall, just in the fall last year, mentioned security as one of the reasons they needed more funding.
Yeah, don't let the Wisconsin Republicans tell you how generous and how wonderful they've been with finally upping the amount after decades of underfunding it. That infuriates me.
It's the greatest funding in a generation, Jane.
Yeah, where can we look for this article a little bit later on today, Jimmy?
It'll be on civicmedia.us underneath our commentary column. It's on the front right-hand side of our websites. It'll go up there, and you'll probably find it as well on any of the Civic Media social media handles, as well as mine, at Jimmy Cuska.
Absolutely worth a read. Thank you so much for sharing your experience, Jimmy. Really, really appreciate it. You do great work for us at Civic Media, so thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
News is coming up next, and then our statewide Text to Win contest gets underway. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, yes, we're global, Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, stops in for a hump day edition. And we'll see. Maybe Luke Mathers and Trigby Olsen as well. It's a potpourri. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop, holding my pants up, because they would literally go down. And twice, people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The House Ethics Committee has voted to release the report it was looking into on Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, President-elect Trump's first choice to be Attorney General. ABC's Jay O'Brien's on Capitol Hill.
What the House Ethics Committee, according to sources, has done here at a meeting earlier this month was to vote to release this report. And that would have required Republicans crossing over party lines and joining with Democrats, at least one Republican doing so, to vote to release this report, because the last action we saw out of this committee, Phil, remember, was that the panel was deadlocked.
We've also just learned that the Supreme Court will take up the issue of TikTok, whose Chinese owners have been ordered by the government to sell or face a ban in the United States. For the first time in UN Security Council history, a hostage family member has addressed the council. Michael Levy, brother of Orr Levy, was kidnapped from the Nova Festival. This is ABC News.